In our theme is the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have said that there are miracles of provision, miracles of restoration, and now tonight we're going to speak on miracles of healing. It is clear that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the healer. You know, I was in Pittsburgh, and I had been, if I could say this, enjoined to go to one of Catherine Kuhlman's meetings when she was holding them in Pittsburgh every Friday. And as I walked towards that Carnegie Hall where she was ministering, I had a vision of the Lord above the building, and underneath his feet was the word healer. And he made it very clear to me he was doing the healing. And that is what we want tonight. Praise he Lord, yes. does the healing. He has paid the price. He has paid the price with those stripes across his back. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen. By his stripes, we were healed. Amen. And so he said very clearly to his disciples, he gave them a charge, and essentially he told them to preach the gospel, but also to heal the sick. And then when disciples from John the Baptist came and asked, "Are you really the one for whom we seek?" He said, "Go back to John and say, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised." And essentially, that was a message of the Old Testament too. Because when the Lord brought the children of Israel up out of Israel, what did he do? Well, he led them by those bitter waters, the waters of Marah. And the children of Israel started to complain, "What should we drink?" And Moses cried out to God, and God showed him a tree, speaking of the cross. And they threw that tree into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And then he went on to say, "I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now, I want to look with you into Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. And here in Psalm 103, we are challenged. And from verse 1, we read these words. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And therefore we have, if I could say this, a heart condition. We are to be blessing the Lord. Everything within me must bless his holy name. And also, again it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then King David goes on and says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." And really, King David could speak from experience, because he had grievously sinned and committed murder and so forth. But he could come back and declare that he had been forgiven all his iniquities. And we spoke on the miracles of restoration, of how God indeed forgave Manasseh of all his sins. And we spoke of Manasseh as being one of the most wicked men, perhaps, who had ever lived, coming from a righteous stock, Hezekiah, yet he turned away from the paths of righteousness, and he filled Jerusalem with sin. And in spite of the fact that God sent prophets to him, righteous men, warning him, he still would not heed. And it said that he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, idols at the head of every street, and he corrupted the whole nation. Now you cannot sink lower than that. But God took Manasseh, as he had warned Hezekiah prior to the birth of Manasseh, he took Manasseh into Babylonian captivity and there dealt with him, restored him as Manasseh humbled himself. God restored Manasseh to the throne and forgave him all his iniquities. Now, the picture of Manasseh is very black indeed. But God forgave Manasseh all his iniquities. And so we have a picture there of the first part of this verse, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And therefore we cannot think of anything that one can do, that one cannot be forgiven, if one truly repents, of course. Now, with that foundation, David builds upon it and says this, and healeth all thy diseases. When we look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ upon earth, we find at times, as even came, that they would bring the sick who were afflicted with all kinds of diseases. And we're told that he healed everyone. He healed everyone. He healed everyone. And so, therefore, we are confronted with this truth. The Lord that forgiveth all thine iniquities is also the Lord who healeth all thy diseases. I don't think we can doubt from the Word of God, from experience, that God forgiveth all our iniquities. Well then, at the same time, we've got to believe the next part of the verse, who healeth all thy diseases. Amen. Forgiveth all, healeth all. Hallelujah. I mean, the all is all. Amen. All thine iniquities, all thy diseases. Forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases. And therefore it is very clear indeed that upon the foundation of these Old Testament scriptures, I am the Lord that healeth thee, I heal all thy diseases. There was no disease that Jesus could not heal and did not heal, because they came from everywhere, bringing their sick and their afflicted. And very clearly indeed, the scripture said he healed them all. You know, there was that beautiful case of blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus was not to be denied. And as Jesus was going out of Jericho, the crowds were crying out, and blind Bartimaeus knew that this was his time. And so he cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." The crowd turned to him and said, "Be quiet." But he continued. And Jesus, whose ear was tuned to that cry, because we are told in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4 that he wakeneth mine ear morning by morning. And God, the Father, opened the ear of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knew each day what he was to do. He had the tongue of the learned to know how to bring a word of comfort. And what was a word of comfort? It was, "Bring him." And the crowd changed immediately. They said, "The master calleth for thee." And then blind Bartimaeus was led to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What would you that I do for you?" Well, blind Bartimaeus knew very clearly what he wanted. He wanted eyesight. And he said, "That I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, in meditating upon the message tonight, I have consistently had in my heart and in my mind the thought of one particular healing in the New Testament. And that healing is repeated three times. It is concerning the woman with the issue of blood. And it's recorded in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20, Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, but Dr. Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. So shall we turn to Luke's gospel, Luke, when it comes to speaking of healing, gives more details, generally speaking, than the other Gospels. And so we have this thought in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. "For," Jesus said, "who touched me?" And when all denied, and Peter and the others said, "Well, what do you mean, the multitude's about you? How could you say, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And the woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was immediately healed. And he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And as we look at the other accounts, we find what was going on in the heart of that woman. And she was saying, if by any means I might touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now, it's not the malady or the sickness I'm concerned with tonight, but the attitude of that woman. That woman had received faith. And the faith was simply this: if I can but touch him, I shall be made whole. Now, faith is a substance. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. You know, it's a substance of things hoped for. And that woman had received faith. Faith from God. There's a difference between believing and faith. We must believe, obviously. And mercifully in English, we do have these two words to differentiate believing and faith. Remember when I was preaching in Germany, and I was trying to explain the difference between believing and faith. And at this time I was speaking through an interpreter, and she just threw up her hand. She said, you know, I can't translate that. Well, I said, why can't you translate it? Well, she said, the word is the same. We have no differentiation. So we had to have a lesson in the German language to try and show the difference between believing and faith. And if the word is the same, it was quite difficult. But you know, they went away understanding. You see, but we mercifully, in the English language, have two words. You know, we are to believe. You know, it's a condition of heart. It's a condition of mind. But faith is a gift of God. When you have it, you know you've got it. And we want to have a believing heart and say, God, put thy faith within my heart. You see? And faith is a substance. You know you've got it. And this woman knew. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. And as Peter and the other disciples, you know, brought out the fact, well, many were touching him. But you see, they weren't touching him like this woman. You see, this woman had faith, and so her touch released the virtue of the Son of God. And she was completely healed. And so, you see, it's how you come to Jesus that matters. Blind Bartimaeus knew that if he got to Jesus, he was going to be healed. He had that faith beneath his heart, you see. And so it is so important that we understand these things. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33, it speaks of the heroes of faith and what they did by the faith of God. And the interesting point is this, that it says, while some put the enemies to flight, others subdued nations, shut the mouths of lions, and amongst these very spectacular miracles, there's also those two words, obtained promises. Obtained promises. I want to speak on obtaining promises. Some of you have already seen it, but there's a video out concerning we must say, quite frankly, the resurrection of a Nigerian pastor. And this happened in November, and we had a Nigerian brother here, I think it was about a week ago, who attested to it too. There was a well-known fact in Nigeria about this pastor being resurrected. And we had a video of it. The interesting thing is this. This particular Nigerian pastor was driving a Mercedes. And you will see the relativity of this in a moment. But he was driving a Mercedes, and simply when he put the brakes on, nothing happened. And he hit a stump, and the result was that he was shot forward into the steering column, and obviously it did a lot of damage. And to cut a long story short, he died. And he was taken to a doctor who gave the death certificate. He was then taken to a mortician who indeed embalmed him. And that should have been the end. But he had a wife who had obtained a promise. And the promise was simply this. Again in Hebrews 11, women receiving their dead again. And she said, Jesus, you gave me that promise. And you know, we don't like ladies who are stubborn, but in some cases it's a virtue. And she was very stubborn. She said, Jesus, you gave me that promise. I want my man back again. Well, she heard that Reinhard Bonnke was preaching in a stadium to something like 6 million people. And there in Lagos, although he had been put, the pastor had been put in a casket and was clearly dead. I mean, the embalming fluid was there and everything. And this is after about 3 days. They had put him in that casket, and she persuaded believers to take that casket and come to the Reinhard Bonnke campaign. Well, today, there are security people. And the security people were afraid that this casket was just a bomb. And so they made them open up the casket, and they saw the body of this pastor. And obviously, it's created a little bit of confusion, so they decided to take the body out of the casket, you see. And they wanted to bring him into the church, you see. And then the pastors wanted it done in such a way that, you know, it wouldn't cause any dishonor having a dead man there while everybody was preaching life. So they brought him there. And then this lady, pastor's wife, very stubborn, she said, Lord, you promised. And believers gathered around. Pastors were leading them. The meeting was going on just a little way away. And the meeting had actually, if I understand correctly, had finished. But they were still praying. And suddenly they saw him breathing. And then they started to massage his hands and so forth. And essentially, he came back to life. And there was a you know, the fact that he who had been certified as dead, been embalmed, was alive. The doctor called it awful. You see, he says, awful, awful, awful. You've got to be in Africa to understand those things. But anyway, awful. The mortician could hardly believe his eyes because he pointed to where he was laid out. It was clearly documented. But the point that I want to bring out too is this, that he went to heaven, the angels took him to heaven, and he saw many wonderful things in heaven. He also was taken to hell, saw the gates of hell that were opened up, and there he saw a pastor who had stolen money, and he spoke to him and said, you know, can you repay my debts or something, trying to get rid of his sin. But of course that was not possible. But this was the reason for his resurrection, if I could say that. The Lord told him, I am going to answer the rich man's request that one be sent from the dead. And obviously this pastor, you know, driving a Mercedes, fitted into that category. And there it was. But you see, the wife had obtained a promise. If the wife had not persisted, I don't think the miracle would have taken place. But the wife had received a promise. And if I could say this, she stood upon that promise. She refused to give up that promise.
Yes, amen.
God, you've given me this promise. The women shall receive their dead again. Now, God had given that word to that woman. And therefore, because of it, she stood on the word of God. God had put his faith in her heart. She persisted even after 3 days, 3 nights. And her husband came alive again. He was literally raised from the dead. You see, it is so important how you come to Jesus. Coming back to this lady of the issue of blood, it's not the sickness that's important. It is how she came. She came with faith. If I might touch the hem of his garment. And don't forget, there was a multitude around who were touching that hem and received nothing. But this woman had faith that if she touched his clothing, she would receive the healing. And so, you see, it is to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, to bless his holy name.